Well, good morning. How is everyone that's, got loud. They're getting it adjusted. Those of you that are in the foyer, if you begin making your way in, it is the 10 o'clock hour, and we get to be here. It is a privilege. It is an honor. You are a blessing. Whether you realize it or not, you are. How many of you feel like a blessing? Got a few. How many of you feel like you just feel? You know, sometimes that's, and what we have learned here at Eagles Way is that how you feel doesn't dictate who you are. Did you hear that? I'll say that again. How you feel does not dictate who you are. Because who you are in Christ is so much bigger and so much greater than what you can even comprehend when you feel great. So if you're not feeling great, you can. Because he has made those promises available to you. So this morning, I encourage you to set aside how you possibly feel and concentrate and think about and draw the energy from Christ our Lord Jesus. And allow him to fill you, to minister to you, and to make you feel great. He wants to put his arms around you this morning in a way you've never felt before. So if you would, let's stand. Father, Lord, I thank you that we get to come to your house and to worship you, to enter into your praise unto you. And that, Lord, when we give of ourselves, we give what we do have to you, that, Lord, you fill us full. You touch us. You love us. And we receive that this day in Jesus' name. Thank you.
the God of miracles. Thank you.
heart to our content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt but nothing left, know that you are holy, and know that you are holy, and we will sing.
If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. You cannot hide from the love of God. You cannot hide from His grace. His strength is never ending. His love never stops pouring out. And pain is so real. It hurts. He is there. He is there. He doesn't leave us. He does not forsake us. He holds us. He contains us. He breathes life into our bodies. Thank you, God, that in pain you are there.
Take this faith.
deserving, and yet you made us worthy. We sing our praises to you, God, in our actions and our talk. We thank you for your Spirit that leads and guides us. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good.
This morning, all of these songs are so relevant to what this second Sunday of the month is all about, and it's a sacrament of healing. And we've singing those songs, we sung words like impossible, and Jesus said that all things are possible, not impossible, but possible. I saw a post this week, Ralph, that had said something to the effect that if you take the word impossible and just separate the I am in front of it, and it's I'm possible. And so we just want to encourage you this morning as we stand together once again for the sacrament of healing. And if you're here today and you need something that's impossible to be possible, you need the God of miracles to come on now, again, quickly. If you just need God to put a fire in you, to light you once again, to let that grace come again, just come down and stand across the front here and let the eldership. The Bible says if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord would raise them up, and if they have committed sins, they'll be forgiven. That's a lot of good promises in that scripture. So would you just stand with me one more time and ask you to come and put yourself in the place to receive a miracle. There was a man one time that kept going to a pool called Bethesda. The Bible says that it was rumored then that ever so often an angel would come and would trouble the water. And when they troubled the water, that if you were the first to get in, you got healed. I'm glad that we serve a God today that when it's the troubling of the waters, it's not the first that gets in. It's whosoever will gets in. Amen. It's not who's first, whosoever will. So, Lord, we obey your scriptures today, and we anoint with oil. And we believe that the prayer of faith saves the sick, and the Lord raises them up. And no matter what, Lord, that you're the healer of our spirit, our soul, and our body. And we do that according to your word today. We give you thanks and praise, and we receive in Jesus' name what we need. And we give you praise for it, thanksgiving for it. Thank you, Lord. Before you be seated, if you are already seated, it's okay. Let's just thank the Lord. Would you just take a moment and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for your making what's impossible possible. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you, God, for just being who you are to us. Thank you for being who you are to the world. Thank you that we know that you're in control of all that's happening in the world today, that nothing's outside your will. Nothing's outside, God, that you're seeing that what needs to transpire and what needs to happen will happen. That you're involved with mankind, that you are with us every single moment of every single day. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We got two powerful things going on in this house on two nights. One's on Tuesday night and one's on Wednesday night. Many of you were here Wednesday night for the Intentional Mind, beginning our six-week series on a journey to positive thinking. But I want to ask Spencer Fry. He's going to join me for a moment. And Spencer has started a Tuesday night meeting, and we've called it Empowerment Group Meeting. And I'm going to let Spencer, there's some brochures outside when you're going out the door on your left. There's a information booth. Just pick you up one of these brochures, and it will kind of give you all the details. But Spence.
Thank you.
Is it on?
No? Oh, there it is. Okay. First, let me tell you that you're missing out on one of the really good things going on here is coming to this group. It's not a 12-step group. You know, it's an empowerment group. And we're going to show you how to deal with your feelings and get what you're thinking and get you free. That's the whole point of it. Get you free from these things in your past. And you'll find it's anonymous, first names only. And you'll find a lot of people there who are just like you. And they'll relate to you. And so nobody's going to try to fix anybody. Nobody's going to judge anybody. We're just going to let you learn to talk right. Okay? And get you free. And that's what Empowerment Group is all about. Thank you, Barry.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bless you. All right. Are you glad you're here? We have a great team of worship leaders. You know what? One of the things that I'm really pleased with our worship leaders, how engaging they are, not just in singing the praise and worship, but how open they can be with a microphone. And several years ago, we started encouraging our praise team, hey, you got something to say, say it. You know, just speak. You can do that. And we maybe had one or two that would do that, and now they're all just a bunch of preachers up there. They'll just read scripture, they'll preach, they'll just say things, and it's pretty awesome, isn't it? Oh, yeah. All right, who's ready to go? Okay, I tell you what we're going to do. I got some interesting things to say to you, but what I want to do, I was studying going over my this week's notes this morning, and I happened to bypass on my last week's notes, and I said, wow, that's some really good stuff. And so I'm going to say a few things I said last week, because I know that half of you got it, and the other half that didn't get it will get it this week. And if you weren't here last week, then you'll get it for the first time. And anyway, we're going to do that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. I almost said open your Bibles. We don't do that anymore. We have a screen up here, but you know, a Bible's a good thing to have. If you don't have one, you need to buy one. You need to read it. Okay, anyway, I don't know why I said that. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, there's a scripture that says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And that veil removed is the flesh, that you see people no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you will remove the veil of the flesh, if you will not look at me in the natural, but look at me in the spiritual, then the veil will be removed, and you will not only see the glory of God, but you will reflect the glory of God. Let me say that in a way that you'll get it better. If you will see people in a positive light and not a negative light, if you'll see people in a merciful light and not a judgmental light, then you will see the glory of God and you will reflect the glory of God. Is that a little clearer? So if you will be positive and not negative, you will see the glory of God and you will reflect the glory of God. Everybody got that yet? It's a big deal. It's a big deal to get that. And so he says, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Say changed. Christianity is a journey. It's a journey of change. It's a journey of transformation. It's a journey of growing. It's a journey of becoming. It's a journey of never arriving, but going after that which you want to be. It's not that you ever get there, but you're always headed there. Not that we're already perfect, Paul said, but we're striving to be perfect. We are launching forth. We're always moving. We're always wanting to be changed. I used to have a sign on my desk years ago that said the seven last words of the church. We never did it that way before. Change is critical. Change is important. If a marriage is going to be a good marriage, it will always be changing into another dimension. If a relationship's going to be a good relationship, it'll always be evolving into something better than it was. There'll always be new things coming in and old things going out. Jesus said two things about the Spirit of God and about growth and renewal. He says, you can't take an new patch and put it on an old garment. Because if you take a new patch and put it on an old garment, then after a while, that new patch, when it begins to shrink, it will begin to tear the garment. So there, most of you never, of course, you don't patch jeans anymore. You just, the holes are cool. I mean, your knee sticking out of your jeans is cool. When I was a little boy, that wasn't cool. That was poor. That was poverty stricken. That was you. That was bad. You didn't go to school with your holes in your jeans. Your mama put a patch on them. Any besides me, boy, I'm telling my age. If anybody here besides me and Billy had you had patches on your jeans. Get out of here. You had patches, Chris, on your jeans. That is, I don't know why. That's not surprising to me. Because I know your daddy. So, but these patches on the jeans, here's the deal, you know, it happened. Mother would wash them, and several times, mother's okay, she's just real dizzy this morning, had 50 people. If I'm not here, I don't know, I don't think nobody misses me. Mama's not here, 50 people ask me, where's your mama? Mama's at home, she's okay, she just had a little dizzy spell this morning. But after she'd washed those jeans over a period of time, all of a sudden that hole that was this big was that big, because it would just tear and make it even worse. There are some things in life, listen, it ain't working. It just needs to be thrown away. There's some clothes in your closet, you ain't going to wear them, throw them away, give them away. Take them uptown, put them in boxes. You know, you're not going to wear it, get rid of it. It's not helping you, stop it. I heard a doctor say something, does that hurt? Yeah, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that. You know, life is really simple when you get down to it. Wisdom is really common sense. Life can be a lot simpler than people try to make. Does that hurt? Stop doing it. Is that causing relationship pain? Stop it. Is this causing you difficulty? Stop it. Some things you got to throw away. Some things you got to renew. And that's what we are constantly doing, renewing our minds. Jesus said, I want you to be changing always for the good. The disciples came to Jesus one time and said, they want us to pay taxes. They're upset about the taxes. And so Jesus said, bring me a coin. And they brought him a coin. And he looked at it, and I probably held it up like this maybe. And he says, whose image is on this coin? He said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar what's his, but give God what's his. And what he was saying was, you are created in my likeness and in my image, so give me my image. Reflect who I am. Give me you, and I'll give you me. Exchange your weakness for my strength. Exchange your sin for my grace. Exchange your weakness for my strength. Exchange what you have for me, and it'll always be better. Nelson Mandela said, do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fall down and get back up. Wow, some people say, well, I ain't never been knocked down. Get married. Have children. Get a life. Man, I ain't never been knocked down. You're not from this planet. Anyway, God understands us. Aren't you glad of that? Man, that was a revelation. Well, I just thought it used to be who was first to get in the pool. Aren't you glad it ain't first come, first served now? Whosoever will, let him come. It's not just for the smart. It's for the dumb. It's not for the righteous. It's for the unrighteous. It's not for the strong. It's for the weak. Aren't you glad it's for everybody? For everybody? If you just get this, you'll get one of the greatest revelations of the day. It's for everybody. Let's kind of let that sink in, because, you know, you get in here, it's always, isn't it easy to go hip, hip? Isn't it easy to say, amen? Amen. I believe in forgiveness. Amen. Amen. And then we get out there and somebody hurts us, and, ooh, I got to forgive. little different. You know, this is where you get coached. This is where you get built up. It's out there where you got to live it. I don't have a problem being righteous in church. I mean, I don't have a problem being holy in church. When I say in church, I mean in the building. It's not a big deal. It's out there, right? In Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, God of Jacob. I can quote, but I can't quote the whole Bible. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember to all generations. Why did he say, this is my name to remember to all generations? Because if you'll study Abraham, and if you'll study Isaac, and especially Jacob, you'll see that God can take your weaknesses and make you strong. That God can take an Abraham who was an idol worshiper and make him the father of faith. Wow. Not just the father of faith, but that God said to Abraham that through you, Abraham, all the nations of the world, all the families of the world, not just then, but for eons and eons of ages, forever and ever, Abraham, I'll make you the father of many nations. And I'll take you and change you. As I said last week, if I'd have been God, I'd have chose Enoch or Noah, because the Bible says that both of them walked in a habitual fellowship with God. They loved God. The Bible says that Noah was blameless in the eyes of God. I think, if you was choosing, wouldn't that be who you? How many remember choosing teams when you was playing baseball? Remember that joy? And you're the captain, you get to choose. You know how you chose. You know how it felt, Calvin, to be the last one chosen, remember? I just haven't catch your eye there. You know, you don't want to be the last one. When you're the last one chosen, it means you're not that good. You know, when we got to choose, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to choose. Come here a minute, Ron. I'm not going to pick on you today. It's going to be good. God forgave me for last week. Hope you did. But we're going to choose a team. And we're going to choose a good basketball team. You want to?
I got Will.
All right. You got Will? Figured you'd get Will. I got Billy. You know why? Because, see, you think Billy can't play basketball. He was a really good basketball player.
I got John Herbert.
John Herbert. He's not even here.
He'll coach.
But you see what I'm saying? Thank you. That's good. You know what? You know, you don't choose somebody that's not any good. You choose the best. But see, God has a way. He says, I've chosen the weak things of the world, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. See, when God chose me, I battled with that choice for a long time. It took me a long time to yield to the ministry. God didn't say, you know, I'm calling. I didn't yield. I didn't say, oh, yeah, good. Glad you chose me. Because when I started feeling that call, I'm going, I'm bashful. I'm shy. I'm timid. I can't do that. I can't do that. And I remember at a tent meeting, and I told some people the story this week, and I was at a tent meeting. I came to the altar, and I was standing with some people, and this guy was going down, he's praying over everybody. He's blessing them and prophesying over them, saying all these things over them. And I'm thinking, when he gets to me, I guess he's going to say some good things about me too. And he got to me, and he looked at me, and he said, you know what God's called you to do? Go do it. That was it. That was it. My daddy was a preacher. And you thought daddy would have told me. He never told me one time you're called into the ministry. He never said one time to me, you're going to follow me in the ministry. In all the years, and he never said that. And when I said to him, I feel God's called me into the ministry, daddy said, I knew that. I've known that all your life. But you see, it didn't matter what E.D. knew. I had to know. See, it's easy to be called by other people. That's not why I'm saying all that. I just want you to know, God says it's whosoever will may come. And Jesus stood up and he quoted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what he said. He said, they're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're going to sit down with the God of with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. He says there will even be prostitutes and tax collectors, the scum of society, what he was saying to the people then, they will come and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Because when God got ready to start the redemptive work of bringing people out from the fall into faith, he chose an idol worshiper. He chose somebody far, far away from him. I don't know why, other than I believe it's a point of reference for us, just that we are without excuse when it comes to our commitment to him. We talked last week about he's called you into an inheritance. Inheritance. God's plan's always progressive. Say, always progressive. Always. But how does he do it? Well, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. And I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous. And you'll be blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. He says, number one, Abraham, come out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. What union can there be between God's temple and idols? Now, get the reference point. We just referenced Genesis 12, 1. He talks to an idol worshiper and he says to an idol worshiper, come out. Okay, you with me? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. When I was a little boy coming up in Pentecost, we heard this scripture quoted, Keith, over and over and over again, but it was misquoted. I thought it was scripture, and all the Pentecostal preachers thought it was scriptural because they all quoted it. Come out from among the world and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, says the Lord. And one day my daddy was at home, and we were just talking, and daddy said, you know, I've quoted that scripture all my life, and I've quoted it wrong. He didn't say come out from among the world. He said come out from among them and be separate. Separate yourselves from things that are not like me. An idol is the opposite of God. An idol is not that which who God really is. He says, if you'll separate yourself. Now, to separate means to set off by boundaries. Set off by boundaries. It means to dismiss or drive off or limit or exclude or sever certain things. It means to mark out, declare, determine, and limit. That's a lot of words, but here's the biggest thing I want you to see. It is, what boundaries are you setting? What boundaries are you setting? What boundaries were in your mind? What boundaries are you setting in your mind to keep away and to drive off things that ought not to be there because they do not line up with God's thinking? Now, there are some of you. And let me get some water and I'll tell you. You know, there's been two things that have been psychological strong points, and they're good, but I want to balance it out a little bit. Can I do that for a moment? Got to set boundaries. Anybody's ever heard that? You got to set boundaries in your life, or you got to learn how to say no. You don't have to learn that. Y'all know that very well. Or if I don't set boundaries, then you're being an enabler. all you counselors, I agree. Overall, most of the time, we need to set boundaries, or we need to watch that we're not an enabler. But for the most part, I'm afraid that there are so many people who are setting boundaries where they ought not set boundaries, and they're not setting boundaries where they ought to be setting boundaries. And so, what's really happened, I'm setting boundaries because you don't want to get involved in nobody's life. Because you're selfish and you don't want anybody in. Yeah, I said, or I don't want to be an enabler, or what you're really saying, I don't want to help. And so we can take that and go, I'm going to set boundaries. You used to be an old song, and the sign said, all trespassers will be shot on sight. And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my head, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, understanding young man. I think you're due. Now, I took off my hat, said, imagine that. Me working for you. And the sign said, you got to have a membership card to get inside. But I love the end of it. And the sign said, everybody welcome, come in, kneel down and pray. And they passed around the plate to end it all. I didn't have a penny to pay. So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made my own little sign. I said, thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive and doing fine. Signs, signs, everywhere signs, blacking up enemy, da-da-da-da. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs? And the sign said, I love you. And the sign said, I care. Don't let a good thing become a bad thing. Drop the boundaries for people and put some boundaries in your mind. Watch how you think about them. Watch how you see them. Make sure the boundaries in your mind, you're putting the right boundaries there, because that's the most important place you can put a boundary. It's up here. Keep off what needs to be kept off. Abraham made a covenant and cut in covenant with God. He had all the sacrifices there. And the Bible says that the birds of prey started coming. And he stood up and he drove off the birds of prey, because he's making a covenant with God. And he drove off that which would hinder his covenant with God. What do you need to drive out of your mind to hinder your covenant with God? What's hindering your relationship to God? Come out, Abraham. Come on out. Let me show you how Abraham did, like we do. He came out, but not the way God said come out. He said, leave everybody. And you read on down a few verses of scripture later, it says, and Abraham brought this one and brought that one, brought Lot. God said, leave them. But he took them. And he found out that it hurt him. And it hindered the progression of the relationship. But Abraham grew. Let me show you seven separations of Abraham. It'll be real quick, and I don't expect you to remember all of these. You know why? Because probably just one of them's going to hit you. Probably just one of them's going to go, ow, I needed that. You see, I'm not a fool to think. See, preaching and teaching, I don't expect everybody to go out of here remembering every single thing that was said. But if you get one thing, that changes your life, isn't that worth it? So, you know, when you hear preaching and teaching, we do these things, it's not like we expect. I don't even remember everything. As a matter of fact, people say to me sometimes, I love what you said. And I went, I didn't say that. But you know what? They heard that. They heard that. And I can't. They heard what they needed to hear. And if you will open up your hearts and your mind, you'll hear what you need to hear. And if you'll listen for a moment, you'll hear what you need to hear, in these seven separations of Abraham. Abraham, first of all, had to separate from his country. What was familiar to him? What was familiar to him? Sometimes you got to separate things that are familiar to you and go to the unfamiliar. You know, one of the biggest hindrances to change in people's lives is the unfamiliar. They only want what's familiar. They don't want anything new. They don't want to progress any further. They just want to hang on to what's familiar. And so God says, if you're going to be the father of faith, you got to separate from what's familiar. Number two, separate from your kindred, your natural ties. Sometimes, how many know there are some people that can hinder you? You know, let me give you a simple truth about relationships. Do they help you or hinder you? That's that simple. They help you, they're good for you. They hinder you, they're not good for you. Wow, that's deep. Egypt. Get out of Egypt. Get the world systems, the way the world thinks. Because the world thinks different than how God thinks. They think, get, God says give. They say hate, he says love. They say hold a vengeance, he says forgive. Don't be attached to the world system. Separate yourself from the world systems. Separate yourself from Lot, carnal thinking. You want God's presence more than you want his presence. There's a difference. How many know some people just want God's presence, what he can give them, and not his presence? There's a difference. It's a big difference. There have been people in my life over the years, nobody now, thank God, because I learned. But I had people in my life years ago who wanted what I could give them, but they didn't want my presence. They just wanted what I could give them. They didn't want me. A relationship wants the person, not what they have. A desire to get wealth. Lot had a desire to get wealth. Now, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And before I give you this scripture, you've got to be careful about a desire to get wealth, because the desire to get wealth turns into you can be bought. Years ago, I was ministering to a man who a year before was in a man's office. And in the man's office, he reached behind him on a bookshelf and took a bag, a brown paper bag. He set it on his desk. He opened it up and he poured out thousands of dollars. Added it up, it was $10,000. He gave this man $10,000 cash. $10,000 cash. A few months later, same man gave me a check with no amount, his signature on it, and he was very wealthy. He said, fill in the blanks. Whatever you want, fill it in. And immediately the scripture came to my mind, he that gives, let him give as he purposes in his own heart. And I looked at him and said, no. The Bible says, he that gives, let him give as he purposes in his own heart. And I wouldn't take it. That's the same man that gave the $10,000 cash. And the man he gave the $10,000 cash to was caught on the carpet a year later, and the man wanted his $10,000 back. He said it was a loan to him. It wasn't a loan, but it's trying to buy him. You got to watch. You got to watch your heart when it comes to wealth. I don't know what that's about or who that's for, but there's a scripture in Proverbs. This scripture, and nothing wrong with wealth. No big deal. There's nothing wrong with it. It can just cause you a lot of problems. I was talking to some guys in the foyer earlier, and in the beginning of Tiger Woods' fame and fortune, when he was getting so famous at golf, and not only famous, but very rich. And this is not, it's not a rumor mill, and this ain't talking about Tiger Woods. This is the truth. It was broadcast in the news. It was a lot of places. Tiger Woods was on a talk show, and I saw him say this on a talk show. He called Michael Jordan. He said, "Michael, what do you do? How do you handle all the money and all the women?" Wow. And Michael Jordan gave him good advice how to handle all the money and how to handle all the women. Because believe it or not, they go hand in hand. Oh, I'm not being... You know when a 25-year-old woman's with an 85-year-old man and he's a gazillionaire, you know she's not with him because he's so good-looking. You know why. She's bought. And I love this scripture in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs, "Well, God, I beg two favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." Let's leave that up there, that scripture. I love the spirit of this scripture. I love the spirit of this scripture. Isn't it a great spirit? It's nothing wrong with wealth. I believe actually God wants everybody wealthy. Because I believe that that's what I want for my kids, and I believe that's what he wants for me. I do. I really do. But I know this too, that for every person that can handle wealth, there's 10 that can handle adversity. That most people handle adversity better than they do wealth. And so the change in life that needs to happen is as we go through life, if we get to the place where we can say, you know, these things aren't going to separate me from my God. You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, man, if I won the lottery, I did what I'd do. I'd give half of it to the church and then win the lottery and they go to hell." No, it's the spirit. And I love this. Let me, before I die, let me never, never tell a lie. Wow. You know why he said that? Because once you tell one, it's easy to tell another. And one leads to another. And another one leads to another one. Let him never. And Lord, let me have just enough. If we had this spirit and this attitude, I believe that the world would be a much better place. Some things you need to be separated from. Yep. Confession time. Ready for fucking. There was a time in my life that wasn't my. It was a time in my life I wanted to be rich. More than anything else, I wanted to be rich. It was just a bad motive. I've had more people to give to me out of a pure heart than an impure heart. I've had a lot of people to bless me over the years, and let me tell you, all the ones I know besides the one who tried to buy me and I didn't bite have given with no strings attached. I don't know where I'm going with this, why I'm saying all this, but let me tell you something. Some people give you stuff, they got strings attached to it. They want to manipulate you. They want to control you. They're not giving with a pure heart. Pure heart, you give and you walk away. That's it. There's no strings attached. Not trying to get something out of you, from you. That's why these scriptures are so, that's why these principles of God are so important, because they're such great guidelines for life. They're such great guidelines for life. Man, they'll keep you in the place that you need to be. That was a separation Abraham had to get to. And let me, here's Abraham. He had to get there. Abraham goes into Egypt. He's got a beautiful wife. Pharaoh's looking at her. He likes her. Pharaoh, he says, he lies. He lies. He says, she's my sister. Pharaoh says, go give him all this stuff. And so he gives Abraham a whole bunch of stuff. And Abraham takes it. And Pharaoh takes his wife. And the plague comes on Egypt. And Pharaoh goes, whoa, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you lie to me and tell me she's your sister? Well, he didn't really answer it. But there was two reasons. One, he was afraid. And fear will always drive you into doing the wrong thing. He was afraid. And second of all, he got some stuff for it. Later on, Abraham's growing in his faith. Gets into a battle, and they come and want to give him a whole bunch of stuff. Bless him for a great victory. And Abraham says, I haven't learned. Oh, no, I don't want your stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going to take everything I've got and give a tenth of it to this priest because I'm finding out that being a giver is better than being a taker. So I'm going to give. And Abraham's growing in his faith. And Abraham has to keep growing in his faith because he had to have a separation with Ishmael. He had to get to the place where that he realizes that man-made attempts for God's promises aren't going to work. Man-made attempts for God's promises aren't going to work. Wife comes to him one day and says, hey, I got an idea. Being we can't have a baby and we're not having a baby, and I can't, you know, we're doing the stuff we need to do to have a baby, but we're not having a baby. So I got an idea. I have a handmaiden here. Why don't you sleep with her and promise of God to come through her? And Abraham said, sounds like a good idea to me. Bet it did. So he thinks what's a good idea even came from his wife. Turned out to be a bad idea, that God had to take a mess and make a bless out of it, but it was not what God intended to happen. You got to separate yourself from trying to do it your way. And last but not least, he had to separate himself from his promise. And he had Isaac, and God says to Abraham one day, Abraham, now that you got Isaac, this is what I want you to do. I want to take your son up to the Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him there a sacrifice. Wow. So here's the promise that he finally got. Then God says, I want you to take the promise up to the mountain, and I want you to kill it. We don't know why God does certain things and when he does it and how he does it and why he does it. Really, I don't know why this really happened, why this really transpired. I don't have all the answers for that. But I know this. It showed Isaac more than it showed Abraham. Because Isaac looks at Abraham and he says, here's the mule, here's the sticks, and here's the wood, here's the fire you're going to use. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's looking at the sacrifice, his son. He looks at him and he says these words, God will provide. And so Abraham and Isaac's going up one side of the mountain, but on the other side of the mountain there's something else going up the mountain. Abraham and Isaac's going up one side, but there's a ram going up the other side at the same time. You know why? Because when you obey God and you headed up to that sacrifice, guess who's up there to meet you when you get there? And so Abraham and Isaac going up one side, and here's a ram coming up the other side. And Abraham takes Isaac, lays him on an altar, draws back his knife to sacrifice his son, and an angel stops him and said, God just wanted to see. And can I paraphrase for a moment? God just wanted to see, Abraham, what's more important to you? The promise or the God of the promise? What's more important to you? The promise or the God of the promise. I was listening to a man talk on prayer this morning. Great talk on prayer. Sitting in the bed, watching him preach and drinking my coffee. And that really hit me. Because he talked about prayer, talked about unanswered prayer and how difficult it is not to have your prayers answered. And, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says later, sometimes God, you know, it's really, how many know we're all like kids, we want it now. I've yet to have Jet ask me for something and take no. He don't know no. Or in a minute. A minute to him's a day. A day is a month. A month's a year. You know, and not, we're all like that, aren't we, when it comes to prayer? I want it now. Now. Do I want the promise more than I want the promiser? Do I want the promise more than I want the God who gives the promise? And what comes to reality in life as you grow older is you love your father, you love your mother based on relationship, not based on what they can give. Isn't that what it's really about? And that's what God wants out of every one of us. I don't want you to base your relationship on my promises I give you. I want you to base your relationship on the God of the promise. That's what it's all about. And it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in the journey of faith that we get so focused on where we're going, and we get so focused on getting more, and we get so focused on things out there that we forget about here and now, and forget about gratitude and thankfulness and praise. And I don't know where you are this morning and what part of this. I said a lot of stuff. A lot. I've probably given you 10 messages. Either one of these points could have been one message. Easy. But I believe, because I almost scrapped this message this morning. Come that close to scrapping this. This morning I sat down at my table at home and almost scrapped this. You know why? I didn't understand it. I mean, I had a little bit, but I really didn't. I just sat there for a moment and I had this conversation with God. I said, I think I'm just going to go back and talk about last week because that was some really good stuff. Let's just rehearse that again. And this is what Spirit said to me. Spirit said, that's good. You need to do that. But don't scrap this. Don't scrap this. Because somebody needs to hear. And this is what I heard in my heart and spirit. They're not going to get it all, like I started with it, but somebody, they're going to get this one thing that they needed. And I really believe today that many of you got the one thing that you needed to hear. And that's what's important, that you got the one thing that you needed to hear. Don't you bow your head, and you're here today and you're not where you need to be with God, and you know you're not. Maybe you've never asked Christ into your heart, or you know you're not where you need to be with Him. Would you just lift up the hand and hold it and look at me until I see your hand? God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. I see it. You ought to look at me right quick. This, the reason I believe that God didn't choose Enoch and didn't choose Noah, and why He chose an idol worshiper, was for us to let you see, to let me see. I can take anybody anywhere and make them awesome. I can take them in their brokenness and take them in their weakness. And take them in their divorce, and take them in their poverty, and take them in their hurt and their pain, and take them in their inability, and take them wherever they are, and bring them out, and bring them in to a great inheritance. a great inheritance. Say inheritance. Don't have to live in the hog pen. We all got the same Father. All got the same Father. And wants to bless everybody the same. He has no favorites. Aren't you glad of that? He ain't like you and me. We got our favorites. Yes, you do. You sweet little dang you. Some of you even got your favorite kid. Some of us even got our favorite grandkid. Aren't you glad God's not like that? There are no favorites. He loves the guy in the ghetto as much as he loves me. Loves the worst person you can name out there. He loves him just as much as he loves me. The thing is, I'm going to say this in close because I'm about to break. Here's the deal. That's good theology. Good theology. He loves them as much as he loves me. And I know all of you know that. I know you do. Not a person here. I know there's not a person here that does not believe that God so loved the world that he gave. That's great theology. Here's the kicker. I gotta love them like that too. One thing to say he does. What about you? What you're going to do about it is a pretty good thing to go. Well, I'm done. Love you.
If you have your connection card, if you have filled that out, hopefully you have signed up for lots of things that are taking place, whether it's Rushton Hope, you can serve this Saturday. Our ushers can go ahead and begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. Or 2 weeks from today, if you've not yet signed up, we'd like for you to. And that is to come out to our cookout that will be at City Park for the public safety. We are cooking barbecued meal, lots of food. We'll be serving it out there, and we need your help to be a part of that. One, just come enjoy a cookout. Don't you love Donnie Pork Chop Barbecue? Everybody like Donnie Pork Chop? Yeah. So you need to come to that. How many are planning to come 2 weeks from today at 6 o'clock at City Park? Oh, Lord, we're going to have a lot of leftover barbecue. Make that part of your plan. There will be four areas that you can help in serving. You can do a setup team, and there's a time slot for that. There's a serving team, a time slot for that. A cleanup team, and then working on the kids' activities team. So those will be next week in the bulletin where it'll be isolated, so you can check mark those. If you have already signed up, you can check mark it next week, or I will be contacting you to make sure that we have enough people in each of those areas. So it's going to be a good thing, a real good thing. So, Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and we can bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, for the furtherment of your kingdom, touching people's lives, Lord, that you'll use that to bless in Jesus' name. Stand and let's worship. Two altar calls today, so if you didn't receive prayer for a particular area, Pastor Linda will be over here, and you can either side, and Pastor Joey will be over there. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. See the kids.